got it. Here we go. Tom and Curly Show. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in on this Tuesday. Do love hearing from you. Write to us at MyNorthWest.com. You can also come in through the State Roofing text line at 98973. Again, Chris and the teeny tiny human resources had them in a meeting earlier today, Sean, and I heard it did not go well. She's not back a second day, and Chris is on his own to choose letter of the day, so that's going to be coming up, and I'm sure it's going to be just a kind of a quiet failure on its own. Diving in it.
That's the name of Chris's third band, Quiet Failure.
Quiet Failure. Takes a lot of heat, doesn't he, though? Okay, everybody. Mitch McConnell's like, why are all these corporations going all woke? It's not going to help them at all. You better not keep doing that. Stop going with the woke folks. He's speaking to Delta Airlines and Coca-Cola
and anybody
woke Coke, anybody speaking out against what happened in Georgia. And people coming back at Mitch McConnell saying, oh, you guys are out of ammunition. You don't have anything else to say. Get out of the way. You know, this is it. This is the new way, the new culture. So, Mitch McConnell, you are so old school. The question comes up is, what do the Republicans gain or loss? And why do corporations, why have they moved away from what normally people thought of as businesses being the conservative, Milton Friedman, the business of business is business, and the shareholder is king. I saw that in John McCain runs against Barack Obama, corporate money was on Obama, not on McCain. Then Romney Obama, corporate money goes to Romney. Then you have next Hillary and Donald Trump, money somewhat split, but mostly about 60-40, 40 to Trump, 60 to Hillary. But then when Trump runs again, he gets hardly anything. I mean, corporate America and all the dollars that it throws in was completely against Donald Trump. They said, where did they go? It was crickets for the dollars that he got before. They had basically abandoned Donald Trump for his second time around. So the question is always, why are corporations now, which were always seen to be conservative and Republican, why are they fully embracing the identity politics of the woke culture?
Yeah, it's fascinating. And that's interesting. I didn't hear that. I hadn't seen that stat about corporate America abandoning Trump, because the biggest accomplishment of Trump's administration was probably the tax cuts that he got through that primarily helped corporations and the business community. So it's fascinating to see that they actually turned. And I've been, you know, sort of mulling this over for years. I'm surprised that organizations like the NFL and MLB and the like in sports are seeming to be moving more toward the progressive side of the social events calendar than the conservative. Yeah. Because, yes, I mean, I'm old enough to always business. I think it's what's happening is that business in my generation, so the baby boomers and up, business was always seen as antagonistic to labor. So labor was the Democratic Party and business was the Republican Party. Well, maybe because labor is diminished so much now that there isn't this kind of split, that the split within the Republican Party is was exacerbated by Donald Trump, who's a populist. Well, the best thing that what do populists like to do? They like to mock the country club set, the elite set. And so right now there is kind of a country club Republicans who are economic libertarians, people like Rob Portman and Roy Blunt and these kinds of old school Republicans. And Romney obviously would fit in that group. And then you've got these populists who like to shake their fist at big money or the elites. And the elites now, there are liberal elites and there were conservative elites. Well, now the elite class is all bunched together by populists. And so you have not all populists are conservative, but the Trump populists, that kind of populist, as opposed to the Bernie Sanders populists, are, you know, saying, hey, you know, we don't like you guys who are running the store, and that everything in D.C. mm-hmm. is corrupt. And so if you have a business and you've got lobbyists and you're entrenched in the way things used to work in D.C., then clearly you're going to start, you know, feeling like, wait a minute, they're now attacking us. Those Republican voters that are populists are attacking us because we've had the lay of the land and at our mm-hmm. behest for a long time. It's a fascinating development.
I seen another article, and I had sent this to both you and Chris. This guy tried to do an analysis. What does it hurt or help when Coke and Delta and these other ones and Nike go all woke? Mm-hmm. They look at the basic landscape of the consumer, and they say, okay, so what percentage? What's the age? So let's say the woke people that they've been brainwashed since, let's say, high school through college. They're in their 20s, 25s, 30s, somewhere in there. It's important for them in a survey. It's important for them to feel as if the corporation that they're giving money to, you know, is equally brainwashed. So they support those companies and will give money. They then say, well, then the other part is conservative. We'll get their money most likely. We probably won't alienate them. It would be more likely we would alienate the liberals than we would the conservatives. So it's a wash for us. So let's avoid the takedown we would get on social media. So let's cave in and call Georgia racist, and let's cave in Delta, Coca-Cola, and other organizations. Let's just go woke. It'll do better for us. It won't hurt us, and it won't help us. It'll just allow us to skate through sort of the middle of it. So whether it was Gillette and the trans commercials or Delta Airlines and, you know, this sort of stuff. So it's a wash for them. It just helps them avoid the problems. It's a wash them economically, but it helps them avoid the dangers of being taken down in the social media world, right? And the weirdest part of it is the people that say they really believe in it, like I take Coca-Cola. Oh, Coca-Cola, so you had this Jim Crow stuff, although you're doing the exaggeration, believing this is like even close to Jim Crow. Mm-hmm. But you have no trouble going to China, where people mm-hmm. literally are enslaved and being tortured, and you do business with China, and they take a million of these Turkish-speaking Chinese Uyghurs, what they're called, Tom, and they move them into concentration camps, and they torture them, and that's Coke, and that's Nike, and that's Delta Airlines. And you want to talk about slaves, because you've got this idea that the people of Georgia are somehow suppressed, that the people that are black in Georgia are so dumb, they don't have driver's license, and they need to be somehow huddled by the state. But you'll go to China, where they literally are enslaving people and killing people, and do business with them. So where's the standard of morality that you want to preach from? Don't you find they're on sort of weak ground when it comes to that, Tom?
Well, yes, it's a bit like these sweatshops that a lot of these manufacturing companies. Yeah, you pay somebody, you take somebody in Southeast Asia, say, and you pay them, you know, 50 cents, an hour, and that's like twice what they would make in their, you know, their in their country without their without the that American company. And the American company said, "See, listen, we're providing jobs, but by American standards, that is slave labor. That would not, you know, cut it in this country." And so a lot here's where the woke component can actually help. We've managed to shame some of these companies to not have these kinds of sweatshops over there. Uh-huh. They have to figure out a way to resolve that so it doesn't go against us. Now, I think mm-hmm. there are two issues here, and I agree that right now, because of the globalist system that, most of the economy operates on, we have to ask the American companies do not pay what their American wages are to Americans in other countries. However, the argument is, well, they don't need as much money over there, and so it doesn't have to be fair. That's one issue the companies have to deal with. Now, the other issue, John, though, and I think this is where it's politically pertinent to us, is whether you can hold your own country to higher standards than the countries that you're operating in at the allowance of those countries. And I can see, uh-huh. now I think it's a good point that the conservatives are making, say, well, listen, you do dealings with China that are, you know, and China's much worse than we are here in Georgia. But I do think I personally, as one individual voter, say, but I understand the difference. I think that if we're Americans, we can hold our Americans, you know, the American people or the companies to higher standards than we do in China, because, you know, because we don't have to be. China could kick us out if we want to, and it somehow is a benefit to both. But it does raise great moral issues, and I agree that their treatment of the Uyghurs is indefensible. And so then the question is, do you withdraw from all parts of China, or just the part of China that's oppressing those, and maybe work on other aspects? I don't know, but it's a tricky question.
It's same thing. Same thing with the NBA. The NBA is a bunch of hypocrites, right? Here they are kneeling for the national anthem, then they go over to China. This, I think, was the best answer. This is Rakes, who used to work for Microsoft, and they're doing one of these sort of back and forth. He's getting a chance to sit down and talk to the president, Nadella, at Microsoft, and they finally get to the thing about equity and diversity, this sort of idea that these are the things that you need to be, concerned with nowadays. And listen to the president of Microsoft, Nadella, explain what is his responsibility and Microsoft's responsibility to the new, diversity, equity battle cry.
The definition of the social purpose of a corporation, if I could call it that, or the social contract even of a company that I like is by Colin Mayer, who's an economist at Oxford, where he talks about it's finding, the social purpose of a company is to find profitable solutions.
It's to find profitable solutions
to the challenges of people and planet. And the two keywords is that profitable solutions and then the challenges of people and planet. And I like that because, after all, businesses are about capital allocation that really does create profit ultimately. But the point is that profit is being created by solving the challenges of people and planet. So even foundationally, to your previous question, driving broad economic growth, after all, is perhaps the biggest thing that a company can do.
Yeah. So I think Rakes was a little surprised by that, because it's the question you're supposed to do the whole talk about diversity and oppression in 400 years. You're supposed to read from that chapter of the Woke Bible. And he's saying the greatest thing we can do is provide something that provides a profit, grows, builds wealth, builds the economy, and ultimately the world is better served by it. He went on later on to talk in this by Tom about the computer. The fact that you build the computer, the laptop computer, the small computer, now can be purchased for $200 or $300, and one person can run an entire business off of one computer, creating wealth and growth and hire people. So that computer and that platform that Microsoft has, or the cloud or something else, creates the greatest wealth for everyone, and at the same time the company itself makes a profit, so therefore the world's better, the company's growing, it's a healthy environment, as opposed to just reading from the Bible of wokeism, which is diversity, equity, and I forget the other one we're supposed to be all concerned with. Good for you, Nadella there, president of Microsoft. You agreeing with him, Tom, because it seemed very close to the business of business is business.
Well, that's interesting that you see it that way, because the business of business is not business if it destroys the planet and the people. So you have to have the benefit, and that's where the balance comes in. There's a service to business besides just turning a profit. Now, I do think I like that. I think that clip, because that's the first time I've heard that clip. I think what he's talking about is that's sort of a macro as opposed to a micro approach to thinking about what you're doing, and in the big picture. Yes, if you have economic collapse everywhere, that's not going to be good for people, whether they're poor or middle class or rich. So you want to keep the economy going as a good at that macro level, and then the dispute comes in at the micro level. Well, at what point do you then say those profits need to be helping equitably? And that's where I don't know, where he says it needs to be in the service of solutions for the problems of people and the planet. That's where the dispute is. Keep in mind, as you're praising Nadella and Microsoft, Microsoft was one of those, he was one of those executives that signed off on, I can't remember now if this is a condemnation of Georgia or a warning shot to Texas or what. But so he is making a kind of macro argument with a micro argument distinction that you wouldn't agree with.
I think this guy is a legislator out of Georgia, and he's come up with an idea about comparing the what the president has been saying about Georgia, and he's come up with a solution. He believes it's going to make it all better.
Our president, apparently without reading the bill, went on the news and called our new law. He called it un-American. He called it sick. He called it pernicious. He then went on to describe it as Jim Crow on steroids. So, in light of President Biden's concerns about our law here in Georgia, I have decided that I'm going to introduce new legislation, and today I want to announce my intent to do so. The name of this new bill is going to be the President Joe Biden Jim Crow on Steroids Voter Act. Because what we're going to do is we're going to take the voting laws in Georgia, and this new bill will change our voting laws so that they mirror the president's home state of Delaware. Since he seems so concerned about our state, I thought it'd be good to look, you know, let's just make our voting laws like his state, which would probably make him happy. This law will have five key features to make us like Delaware. So instead of having 19 days, up to 19 days of early voting like we have here currently in Georgia, we're going to have exactly zero.
Then he goes on to compare the difference between Delaware and Georgia. And if you look at it, if you had a choice, you'd say, I think I'd rather do Georgia than Delaware. So clever on his part. That's Wes Cantrell. And okay, that's the president. It's sort of sad, Tom. Remember Donald Trump was always making gigantic things, making weird comparisons, and people are jumping on him for the hyperbole and the exaggeration. Does Joe Biden really believe that that's Jim Crow? That that law is Jim Crow?
Well, I do think the best, because I'm uncomfortable. We've talked about this before. I do think there are problems with what Georgia did, but I think it is a hyperbole or an exaggeration that gets in the way of whatever point you want to make, because Jim Crow is so much more extreme. Now, the one version I will say, I think is a slightly closer version. If you call this Jim Crow 2.0, which is, in other words, this is the slicker, more subtle version, that might be a little closer to it. But yeah, I don't think that that kind of exaggeration is helpful, because it's not as bad as Jim Crow. The implication that the president's making is that, you know, it's on steroids. It's not twice as bad as Jim Crow. It's not as bad as the original Jim Crow laws. But it might be.
I don't think it has anything to do with it, but version. That's okay. He's really uniting the country. Tracy, what's happening out there? Comforting Tom. Cairo 7 is like Maverick and Goose. Cairo 7 is like Goose in the back seat, right? And Maverick says, "Talk to me, Goose." Same sort of thing.
Maverick, huh?
Well, and Goose is in the back behind him, and he's like, "Look out for that mountain in front of you, Maverick." And he's like, "Yeah, thanks, Goose." While they're flying.
Really? Okay.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. My son and I were going back and forth on Talk to Me, Goose. Like Rachel Bell. Same sort of thing.
Top Gun, they're doing a sequel.
I know they are. But unlike Goose, Rachel never dies in a bizarre... How did Goose die? Was he ejected from the plane? Is that what killed him? I think that's what killed him. Right? Rachel, you with me?
Marcus, I never saw the movie, but I loved playing Duck Duck Goose.
Okay, well, let me try to slip the name of the sponsor in on this. Muckleshoot Casino is entertaining. It's like Rachel, except better parking. How about that?
That was a wonderful ad. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Can I go to Europe? Am I allowed to get on a plane?
About Goose.
Can I get on a plane and go to Europe, Rachel?
Oh, my God. Are you ever going to stop talking? Okay, now I'm going to talk forever. Yes, I know a lot of people have been telling me, oh, I'm going to go to Europe this summer. And I say, well, can you go to Europe? Aren't the borders closed? And they say, la-di-da, I'm just going to book a ticket anyway and see what happens. That is not a very good idea. According to the New York Times, Europe is on its third wave of coronavirus infections. In a lot of countries, they've gone into another lockdown, places like France and Belgium and Portugal. You can't really go there, but there are some places that you can go. The CDC does still recommend that you don't travel, even if you are vaccinated. I will say that. And Europe is planning on hoping to open this summer, but not to Americans, just to other Europeans. So Turkey, wow. Which is kind of half in Asia and half in Europe, which is one of the best places I've ever been. They are letting U.S. citizens enter as long as you can prove a negative COVID test. You don't have to be vaccinated to go. Croatia is also accepting Americans, as well as Albania and Armenia, which are not in the European Union. One of the places that anecdotally I think is the most popular place that Seattleites go is Iceland. I was surprised by that. They've got the virus under control. They are allowing vaccinated Americans only. Greece is actually going to open for summer, but you have to show proof of vaccination and you could be tested at the airport. So those are kind of the main spots, which isn't too shabby. I did read that the UK never closed its borders, but they are on strict lockdown right now. Restaurants and pubs are closed. The people there aren't allowed to leave the country. So not really a very fun place to go. Plus, you have to quarantine for 10 days and show a negative COVID test. And if you violate any of this, you could be charged $13,000 and spend 10 years in prison. Oh, and I also learned that I'm happy that this is happening. So now if you travel and you fly back to the U.S., you must produce a negative COVID test within 3 days of travel.
So I'm wondering about the airline. So I understand that, like, France doesn't let you in and Portugal apparently doesn't let you in. But if you're flying, if you're Delta or whomever, you know, Air France, you can still fly in there and then they won't let you in? I'm not quite sure where you're stopped.
Yeah, I mean, that is a good question. They don't mention that. I don't know if they stop you at the gate in the U.S. if you're going to one of those countries. I would imagine, because isn't that what they do? What do they do for Hawaii? Do they wait till you get there and turn you away? Or do you get turned away in your city that you're leaving?
Understanding about Hawaii was that they force you to quarantine if you arrive and you're unvaccinated. That you had to quarantine. This was in the earlier days. Because, see, I can imagine if I quarantined myself in Paris, I'd be okay. I'd still be in Paris. But I'm just sort of, I don't know. I mean, I guess we don't know the answer. That you can still fly to Paris, like you mentioned your friends.
I was in Atlanta waiting to take off from a flight in Atlanta, and they had these kiosks. And they would test you right there at the kiosk, and then you'd get your little certificate that says you're good to go, and then you hop on the plane and go to Hawaii. Some airlines might test you at the gate, or you might have something before you even get on the plane so that you don't become Hawaii's problem where then they have to quarantine you. Because we talked about this a number of months ago, where in Hawaii what they do is you'd have to check into the hotel, and you'd have one card key. So when you left the room, which you weren't allowed to leave the room, then when you went to get back in the room again, if you went back downstairs said, yeah, hi. Well, it's funny. My card key's not working. They'd be like, you left the room. We know you did. The card key's only good for one shot. So they might be trying to stop you from getting on the plane and going to that place in the first place where they have to show something. Because I saw this lady standing in line. I said, what's this for? She goes, I'm getting my COVID test. Gosh, I hope I'm okay. And then, because she's all packed. They've got the tickets. Yeah. They're at the airport. They're waiting to get the test, and then they go and hop in there. There was one story you found, Rachel, about some sort of fancy restaurant in France that it's open, and Tom said that he would actually violate the law, spend 10 – would you go 10 years in prison, Tom, in order to have dinner there?
God, no. No.
Well, let me explain the story. So this comes from the AP, and like I mentioned, France is still on lockdown. But the AP reports that France has these underground secret, as they call them, clandestine restaurants that cater to the Paris elite. And this is where I think Tom is going to change his mind here, because these restaurants, they serve these pre-fee menus that range from $190 to $575 per person that include champagne and truffles and foie gras and lobster. So I don't know if you're willing to pay that, but people are really upset about this because there was a documentary that aired in France over the weekend, and they had this hidden camera footage, and they had some guys say that he had eaten at two or three of these clandestine restaurants and that government officials have been eating at these restaurants. So that's where the scandal comes in, that it's not just rich people. And by the way, they also said there are red carpets. It's like, and they're not wearing masks. They're basically doing whatever they want. And it involves government officials who are, you know, trying to skirt around the quarantine. And so there's going to be an anti-capitalist protest happening this week. And the banners are going to read, let's eat the rich.
And supposedly did they reveal where one of the restaurants is? Because they're going to have the protest in front of one of the restaurants, and I'm dying to find out which one of those restaurants it is. Obviously, I couldn't pay for it, or I wouldn't pay for it. But I was thinking, since I've been double vaccinated, if I was there and got an invite to go to one of these things, I think I probably would, because there's a part of me that's just curious. As the journalist side of me would be fascinated to see how the other half live. Yeah. Now, I'm assuming John, who runs in these kinds of richy-rich circles, is aware of all sorts of things that the rich can do that the rest of us can't. And so if I had access to that experience, I probably would do it for the sheer experience of something. How about you, John? This probably happens all the time.
I went to that super rich party there in outside of Park City the other day. Park City. And Dak from the Cowboys.
Prescott
was there. Yeah. And we all wore our masks going in, and we all looked like we were, you know, the sheeple that we want us to be. And then they got us into another room, and then it was champagne and no masks. And everyone taking pictures and yada-ya and la-di-da-di-da-di-da. And then when they're like, if you are going to go back out through the restaurant, we're going to ask you to put your mask back
your
on. So then everybody
right
be like, everybody put the mask back on. It was like that same, I forget what movie it was, Woody Allen. He's on one train and there's another train on the other track. And everybody in the other train is laughing and smoking and drinking. Remember the scene? And then Woody Allen looks out that window, and then he turns back to the train he's in. And the casting director must have been told, get every unattractive person you can find, and we're going to put them into this train. And I forget what movie it is where he looks over, and it's the idea that every other place other than where he is, people seem to be having a grand time.
Pretty funny.
Rachel and you, I'll make both of you guys a reservation there in France so Tom can see how
that happens. That'd be great.
I think it'd be worth the $17,000 fine.
And then you can compare that food to Muckleshoot Casino's pizza at Pizza, right, Rachel?
There's no comparison. Yeah, and they have lobster, champagne. No, I shouldn't say that. They just have the best pizza in the world at Pizza at Muckleshoot Casino.
Thank you, Rachel. There we go. Tracy Taylor looks at traffic for us. Here we go with Bucky's Auto Service Centers. Take your car to Bucky's Auto Service Centers. They've got 16 locations. 51 years old, Tom. 51 Bucky's Auto Service Centers. I wish I could get my car. I mean, my pickup truck broke down again the other day. You know, I was on the side of the road. People going by and waving. It's so embarrassing. That thing has never gone for more than a 1,000 miles without it breaking down. Just always just breaking down. God, I wish I knew how to fix a thing. It's people like, oh, those babies, that's easy to fix. Blindfolded, I could fix that. I'm like, I have no idea what's wrong with it. But I can't get it to Bucky's because I got to tow it or flatbed it or something. What a pain in the butt.
Well, I think you should go to the Bucky's Academy where you can learn the trades of a mechanic.
Tommy, don't just say stuff. Don't just say stuff. Sean, is there a Bucky's Academy or not?
You know what? If there's not, there should be.
That's
because
right.
Because you could really use it.
We dream the future into reality, John.
That's exactly right. All right, Caitlyn Jenner is at it again. After halfway through I Am Kate, a failed reality show from 2016, then the media kind of left Caitlyn Jenner alone for a good long time. And now back at it and made what type of announcement, Tom?
Well, so this is a bit hesitant, but she's actively exploring a run for governor of California.
Uh-huh.
As we all know, Gavin Newsom is facing a recall probability, and so a lot of Republicans are thinking about running against him, seeing if they can cash in on the lack of appeal that Gavin Newsom's governorship has exhibited because of his response to the pandemic, and she is one of them. For those who don't follow California history too closely, a few decades ago, there was an unpopular Democratic governor who ended up getting recalled, and that's how we ended up with Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger. So you can have celebrities come from out of nowhere without any political background do quite well in California politics. Who knows? I didn't take this very seriously when I saw the announcement, but I do see that there is somebody, a longtime GOP fundraiser who worked at Trump Victory, in the past, is throwing her support behind her. And so there is some serious, you know, money. But I personally, I don't take this beyond that, John.
The thing I've sort of seen, whether it was Caitlyn Jenner receiving the ESP award for most courageous, mm-hmm. which I still don't understand why that person mm-hmm. won for that, to anything else on television, I think what they're addicted to is attention. And this is one way to possibly get attention. You might even get a reality television show out of it. It strikes me as not a very smart person and somebody who just craves the spotlight. And what are they going to do now? They now have fake breasts and long hair and fingernails. And I think that's about the extent to the surgery that Caitlyn Jenner has done. But I guess this is one way to get people to talk about you. So run for governor.
Okay, and
it's going to be.
She is a Republican.
It will be the. Fine, I believe it's the guy, the person who's going to run and most likely will win. I think he may be the mayor of San Diego. That will be the guy that will most likely come up against the Gray Davis of 2021, as Gavin Newsom gets his butt kicked out of there, and they end up
so
having
you
a recall.
Yeah, now, unlike Gray Davis, who did lose the choice, right now, I would put money on Gavin Newsom. He is going to be recalled, but my guess is he isn't nearly as unpopular, and especially in California, which I'm pretty sure has become even bluer since the you know, Gray Davis days. My guess is, and I'd be willing to bet you a dollar, John, since you love to bet.
Oh, whoa. Newsom, you already have five.
Five,
you already
that's
have
right.
five.
Should we double down?
Because they got... I'm not ready, but one other quick thing before I start with Tracy Taylor. I bought you all the Sondheim stuff. I need to know, do you have part one or part two of the hat?
I have neither.
Oh, okay. Then both go to you. All right, because I was going to give one of them to Donna, because I thought you had both. All right. Tracy Taylor, look at traffic for us. By the way, thanks, everybody.
That was
Tom and I could have done that over the phone or text, but I'm just using the airwaves here to talk to Tom. Thanks, everybody. Tracy, traffic for us on a Tuesday,
all right,
please.